Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, May the 6th, 2026. 5:26, 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And again, I want to thank everybody last night who participated in our coverage. Christian Pearson, Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Adam Lepp, the whole gang here, which made for a great night of politics. In Marion, the quick rundown here, 23.34% of the total number of registered voters showed up yesterday. And Ken Stuyvesant is headed back starting next year to be your Marion County Commissioner, defeating Tim Mooney, who came in second, Christy Neff third, Jason Schauber fourth, and apparently that brings an end to the career, the political career of Jason Schauber, which we heard this morning in his post. Also, Ben Weber, big winner in the 86th District, 52% of the vote in Marion. Wesleyan Davis, 34% of the vote. Stephen Wolf, 13%. Overall, not too far off. Wesleyan in the 30%, low 30%. Stephen in the low 20%, and Ben in the low 40%. When you add in the Union County numbers, levies went down last night. Adam H., Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities, both defeated yesterday. And that's about it here, I think, on the local level. Phone lines are open for a few more minutes here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Vivek Ramaswamy gets over 80% of the vote. Casey Putch somewhere statewide in the 17% area. Looks like experience wins. Allison Russo, Democratic candidate for Secretary of State now. Robert Sprague, current treasurer, candidate for Secretary of State on the Republican side. John Kulowitz, candidate for Attorney General on the Democratic side. And Jay Edwards, candidate for treasurer on the Republican side. So experience won out big over people who had never run for political office, which again, I think is a bellwether for Amy Acton, and not a good one heading into the fall. Because even though Vivek Ramaswamy has never been elected to office, I think people see him as somebody who has run for office, and she has not. And also, I think they see him as a politician. I don't think they see her as a politician.
Well, Vivek's kind of done a whole bunch of work to position himself as a politician. Like, when he ran for president the first time, he didn't do all that well, I don't believe. Well, I know he didn't do well in the primary, but then after that, he did some college campus tours or whatever you want to call them with Charlie Kirk. And I think maybe Candace Owens was there for a few of those. And he was friendly with Elon Musk, and he was supposed to help run the Doge. And then they, you know, that didn't happen because he came to Ohio to run for governor.
You know, if you're Vivek Ramaswamy, do you start touting the Trump endorsement now?
No.
Well, you know, I don't know. The J.D. Vance endorsement, certainly, you would have to say, was a big part of J. Edwards' win last night.
Yeah, but I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think people really are blaming J.D. Vance for the state of things. I mean, I know people who were diehard Trumpers who are all of a sudden heavily disliking Trump because of gas prices. And it's specifically gas prices, too. I guarantee you if gas prices came back down, they'd go back to acting like they love the man.
Yeah, but does this translate into Ohio politics? Do people see it that way? I still think Donald Trump, clearly the administration has some pull here in Ohio.
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, yeah, we voted for him. I would assume that there's you know, more as opposed to less. More as opposed to less, you know, just people here who like him.
So if the race were held today, Ramaswamy and Acton, who would win?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how many of those 17% show up.
I don't know. I just think the Democratic Party is getting ahead of their putting the cart before the horse, which they have tended to do in the past. I think with Rich Cordray, if you go back to that race, everybody that day, election day, 2018, thought Rich Cordray was going to defeat Mike DeWine. Mike DeWine was already starting to be embroiled in some scandals. He'd had a horrible primary with Mary Taylor in which she said she would not endorse him. It was not good. And Cordray was popular, and people did like him, and he didn't have a lot of negatives. Mike DeWine won.
Well, I don't think you should ever run a campaign like you've got it in the bag. That seems like a losing strategy.
Do you think she's running a good campaign?
No.
You're somebody who likes to vote. I saw your voted sticker on your chest this morning.
Yes.
So, I mean, who would you vote for governor at this point?
I don't really like either of them.
Okay, well, what does that mean?
I mean, I don't know. I won't vote for Vivek. I could vote for Amy Acton.
Why? You know what? Here's the thing about that. You've been saying that now for 6 months. In 6 months, this woman has not persuaded you yet, even though you've already said absolutely not on the other choice.
What has she done?
Again.
As a matter of fact, you all like I took a Republican ballot yesterday so I could vote for Jason Schauber. And you know, I got on there and hit next, Jason Schauber, next, submit, print.
Well, he'll be glad to hear that. So this is bad for Amy Acton if there's a group of people like you who don't want to vote for Ramaswamy, but she's not giving them a reason to vote for her.
She hasn't done anything in the last 6 months.
I think she appeals very well to Democrats.
I'm sure she does.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's what she has done very well. She surrounds herself with people in the Democratic Party, and they cheer her, and that's great, and let's go down the road. But I don't know where her appeal is playing in independence, with independence. I don't know where her appeal is playing with anybody else. I don't know. I think she makes Democrats happy.
Well, that's good, I guess. I mean, you know, but...
Well, you gotta have that. You gotta have that part of the voting block. But I don't know that gets you the gubernatorialship, because I think Rich Cordray had that group. I don't know that Nan Whaley did. I don't know that Ed Fitzgerald did. I think she's locked up the votes that Rich Cordray locked up in 2018, but that wasn't enough to win in 2018.
Like, I don't know. I don't think she's run a great campaign. I mean, she's gotten a lot of endorsements and things and from the unions and whatnot, but, you know, unions are like a Democratic thing, so it doesn't necessarily surprise me. Even with things like the whole domestic violence thing. Now, I don't think it's really gonna matter all that much in the long term, but I think it was just mishandled. I mean, she could have come out the day the story happened and said, yes, it did happen, and yes, here's what, and then, you know, told her side of the story and said, look, people do dumb things sometimes. This is the, like, you know, I mean, it's the only police report that her name's in, I would assume, or at the very least, it's the only one they felt the need to bring up.
Well, I'll give you...
Done away with that, right there.
Okay, I'll give you a little insight to the candidates here. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy did invite somebody from this station to his victory party last night. Now, I said, obviously, I could not go because I would be here doing election coverage. They said, if you want to send somebody in your place, that's fine. Because they want the media coverage. McCauley speaking at the Harding dinner. They contacted me and said, do you want to cover the Harding dinner? Do you want to cover McCauley's speech? I did. It got National Associated Press attention in an article. Amy Acton doesn't operate like that. And this is the difference. This is the problem.
I think that she should, you know, just do a better job of speaking to people. I don't think she speaks to people. I think she speaks to, like, her people. But, I mean, her people are already her people. It's kind of useless.
Well, that's what, when I say
preaching to the choir.
Well, that's what I say. I think Democrats love her. And I think that's what she's done a good job of, is sewing up that group. But is that enough to win the gubernatorialship? I don't think so.
There's a fair chance that I could show up to the ballot on November and just not vote for a governor.
Well, I guess that would be your choice.
By the way, I'm a big fan of like, if you ever want to, like, I don't know, some people like choose to not vote as like a protest kind of thing. I think that if you're going to protest vote, you should just show up and just not vote for anybody. You can just print blank ballots. You can just go up there, next, print, and then it's just an empty ballot. No votes to be counted. You just run it. If everybody did that who was discontented, I think maybe things might change, because then you'd have so much extra nothingness to count.
Well, I'm interested to see if a write-in candidate will show up. You know, because a write-in isn't going to win, but a write-in because of an unhappy nature can certainly siphon votes off a candidate.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole argument against third parties. The two main parties hate them because they just feel like they steal votes.
Right. And will they?
I mean, yes, they probably will steal votes. That's our third. Yes.
Well, do you think a third candidate could emerge? Now, I'll tell you somebody who I believe is running an effective campaign is Alison Russo. I believe this is somebody who has experience. This is somebody who campaigns. This is somebody who shows up to things. And I think she has done very, very well. And as we're recapping what happened during last night's election coverage, one of the big races here in Ohio was that of the Secretary of State Democratic primary. Alison Russo defeats Brian Hambly 67.41% to 32.59%. She will now be the Democratic nominee for Secretary of State, facing our current Treasurer Robert Sprague last night, who got the Duke over Marcel Stribich 70% to 29%. So glad to be joined this morning via telephone by Alison Russo. Alison, congratulations.
Thank you. Good to be with you this morning.
You know, Alison, you were on about a month ago, and we were talking about your primary with Mr. Hambly, and a lot of people felt it was going to be close, and last night, not close at all. What do you think happened?
Well, I think, you know, it's the culmination of me, you know, working over the last several years. You know, in many places, being a candidate was not the first time that they had seen me. I've been to many of these counties over the years, working certainly at the State House and the experience, and I think all of that, you know, paid off, and that's why you saw the results last evening.
Now, in the fall, you will face now current Treasurer Robert Sprague. That was kind of an angry race on that primary in a lot of people's view. What do you see going into the fall?
Well, I think, you know, we will be focusing on how do we put power back in the hands of people and Ohioans. I think many Ohioans right now are frustrated by what they see, you know, whether it's happening in Washington or in Columbus, and understanding that special interests and very powerful people seem to control the agenda. And it has a real impact on people's everyday lives. You know, we see it in increased gas prices. We see it in increased utility bills and property taxes, and our schools not having the funding that they need, rising healthcare costs. You know, all of this is because of decisions that have been made by people who want to hold on to power and, you know, ensure that corporations and the ultra-wealthy get the breaks, and it is everyday people in Ohioans who pay that price. And so, you know, for me, the Secretary of State, which is the chief elections officer, this is about how do we ensure that people's votes count, that we have fair and free elections so that we can hold our elected leadership accountable and have transparency in the decisions that are made.
You know, a big question in the last few months has been our current Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, handed over 8 million Ohioans' voter information to the Trump Justice Department. We're not really sure why they did that. What is your inclination as to why Mr. LaRose did that? And do you think he should have done that? And would you have done that if you were in that position?
Well, first let me start with the answer, would I have done that? Absolutely not. Because we are talking about individuals' private voting information. This is not publicly available information. These are things like the last four digits of your social security number, your driver's license number, your state ID number. And, you know, Scott, the other piece of this is states that have not handed that data over. They have been sued in court. And so far, every single judge has ruled in favor of the state, saying that the Department of Justice and the Trump administration have no authority to have access to those private voting files. And so, you know, the idea that we have a Secretary of State who just handed it over on a platter, private information, regardless of, I think, where you are on the political spectrum, this is an issue that I hear the most about because people are deeply concerned that information like this would just be handed over without any assurances. Number one, that the information will be protected, no real knowledge about how it is going to be used or who else it will be shared with. And that is deeply concerning. I think no matter, you know, what your perspectives are on politics, we should all be assured that if you are going to provide private information to the government or any sort of government agency, that that information is used as it is disclosed to you and that it is kept secure and not shared with anyone who asks for it. And so, you know, to your question of how will it be used, I mean, the answer is we don't entirely know. You know, it allegedly will be used to check citizenship, although I would point out there is already a process to do that, and it does not require handing over 8 million voting records. You know, there is some discussion by the Trump administration that they want to build a national data set and control who is and is not registered to vote. The Constitution is very, the U.S. Constitution is very, very clear that election administration is a state function. And so, you know, there's so many things about this that I think are deeply concerning, and it's why I have pushed the Secretary of State's office through a public records request to disclose what was handed over, what agreements were in place, how it was supposed to be protected, how it was supposed to be used. We have not heard from the Secretary of State to provide that information, but I will keep pushing for that.
Allison, another quick question here. We got a long way to go till November, but what do you see as the biggest difference between you and Mr. Sprague on the Republican side?
Well, I think first and foremost is that I believe deeply that every eligible voter should have the ability to conveniently cast their vote and have their vote counted. I think that that is a basic fundamental tenet of our democracy. And, you know, I also believe that this convenience, that many of the points of access that voters have, for example, mail-in voting, being able to early vote, being able to use ballot drop boxes, which is incredibly important for our seniors and those with disabilities, and frankly, working people who may not have normal work hours. And, you know, my opponent, Mr. Sprague, has said that he wants to eliminate ballot drop boxes. He has refused to admit that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election. To me, these are basic things, and I think you will see tremendous differences between the two of us.
Allison, one quick question before we let you go here. Last night, Vivek Ramaswamy, the top of the Republican ticket, won his primary with 82.47% of the vote against Casey Putsch. Do you think Vivek Ramaswamy is a strong candidate as Amy Acton will be heading up the Democratic ticket? A lot of people feel that Vivek Ramaswamy's chances have went down quite a bit over the last year to become the next governor.
Well, I think he is an extremely flawed candidate. You know, we're talking about a billionaire who basically wants to buy his way into being governor because I believe he wants it to be the next step to being president. He treats Ohio as a flyover state. He's moved his business out of state. I think he is out of touch. You know, when you hear him talk about things like he wants to close many of our important universities, he wants to institute year-round school. You know, I could go on and on, but I think that he is very flawed. I think that we have someone like Dr. Amy Acton who certainly cares for Ohioans. She has experienced the struggles that many Ohioans have experienced. She understands that people are struggling to make ends meet, and that will be the focus of her campaign, is making Ohio affordable again and a state that actually works for every Ohioan, not just the super connected, the powerful, and the wealthy.
We thank so much our guest this morning, Allison Russo, who is now the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State heading into the fall. Big win last night in her primary. Allison, thank you for always coming on, and congratulations on the win last night.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Bye-bye. All right, Allison Russo. Now, to me, there is a strong politician.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, winning your election by over 30 points is always, I think that it's a strong showing.
If some others did what she just did, they'd be better off.
Well, yes, I think everybody is hoping that they had those results.
All right, phone lines are open, 38 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I'm sure after her victory party last night and winning, she's tired this morning, but she still makes the time to call in. And to me, that's important.
Well, winners don't sleep, I guess.
No, and I certainly don't think Ben Weber slept last night.
Oh, well, I guess not.
I've never driven down the road like that and saw the big signs gone the next morning. I mean, this has just been a matter of hours. And it was raining last night.
Oh, yeah. Had a whole community cleanup effort going on.
Well, good for him. And we'll see how that all shakes out as we go into the fall, because he does have an opponent in Ken Halloran.
Well, I hope Kent's a strong opponent.
Well, time will tell. Time will tell. And I think that's going to be an interesting aspect of what's going on here. Heather Hill did get some votes, although they won't be counted. I mean, she did somewhat well, I think, for what she is, what she was. Was she ever a strong candidate?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that Vivek Ramaswamy had that in the bag as far as the primary goes.
I'm just trying to look for her percentage. Is it on page one?
Page seven, I think.
Boy, why do they give so many pages?
Yeah, I know.
There's all kinds of stuff on here that nothing was contested. All right, page seven. She got about 7% of the vote, 382 votes. 5,806 cast in that election.
That's a bit closer to what I thought Casey Putsch was going to get.
So, as we go into the fall, how are these races looking for you?
Like, who do I think is going to win?
Yeah, these statewide races we've got coming up. And the 86th district.
Well, I think the governor's race relies a lot on, you know, what percentage of those, like 24% of people who well, you know, they didn't count the people who voted for Heather Hill, but, you know, there was 7% there. So if you count the 24% of people who didn't vote for Vivek, it depends on how many of those people show up to vote for him as far as well as far as how well he does. I think you know, Amy Acton didn't have a primary, so she is your candidate if you're a Democrat.
That's right. We'll see what happens. And again, phone lines remain open for about 19 more minutes here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So is the Republican Party the winner last night, or is the Democratic Party the winner?
I mean, neither of them. Nobody won an election. I mean, the primaries.
Well, it would seem to me that the Republican
Party won out. I can say that much.
Well, yes, but it seemed to me that the Republican Party has now tampered down some of the division. Now, not all of it, but they have tampered down some of the division going into the fall. Because it was a very divisive primary for a lot of people.
I don't think divisive primaries are good, because you spend the primary trashing the candidate, like you know, just trashing each other, and then somebody wins the primary, and then there's just dirt all over your candidate who won the primary.
How do you feel about Monday night city council meeting? That's still worth talking about. We've learned that the police department is down 8 officers, the fire department is down 5 officers, and this is all because of financial anxiety in the city.
Well, I think that shows exactly how bad the financial straits of the city are at this point. I mean, I guess that, you know, they at least felt that there was enough of a specter of being laid off that they just left.
That's got to be scary if you are in the city, knowing that many firefighters and that many police officers are not on duty right now.
I mean, at one point, didn't Chief McDonald say that there were like 63 uniformed police officers?
At the very least,
they were budgeted for something like that.
I don't remember, but I would just think that at some point, this is all going to be very problematic on the whole for the city of Marion. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's Scott?
I'm awake.
Are you a little tired?
Little tired, but we had such a good time last night. I'm okay.
Oh, good. Don't let the word out that you had a good time, because you're not supposed to.
I know. It's supposed to be hard work.
Anyway, Scott, I have a comment about letting the firefighters and the policemen go.
Yes.
You know, we spent a lot of money to train those people, and now they're going to take their training, and somebody else is going to utilize it. But why don't we do away with pencil pushers? It's a lot easier to train a pencil pusher than it is a fireman.
Well,
I mean, maybe they'd have to do 3 or 4 of them, but you never hear about administration or, you know, the people upstairs getting cut. It's always the people that we've had to spend money to train. Now, they're going to go someplace else, and somebody else is going to use our people that we spent the money to train.
Well, it's my understanding that in both of these cases, the 8 police officers that are down and the 5 firefighters, they were not let go. They were worried because of...
I guess.
Yeah.
That'd be like you having to train somebody to take Scott or Matt place there.
Well,
look at the money and the aggravation he's put you through to get that far.
That's right. Well, I think one of the problems with all of the budgetary concerns of Marion is that it does put the city in a bad light, and I don't think the people realize that, and so much of a bad light that 8 officers walked off their jobs and 5 firefighters did because they felt that the finances were not going to be there and they could possibly be laid off. So,
well, they're smarter than the people up there shifting people then.
Well, right, so I don't know how you fix that problem, and I think that's why Chief Deem, when I asked him, well, what's the plan? Well, I don't know at this point, because how do you give people confidence that they're going to keep their job when we don't know anything more than we knew last November, finance-wise?
Well, which is not necessarily the smartest, but I just think that it's a shame that when they're going, you know, like our people that serve the public every day are the first ones that go.
Well, that's true. Well, how do you feel about how the elections turned out last night?
Oh, just now what are we going to fill the blanks with?
Well, that's true.
I bet we're going to just have a lot of blank TV or radio or whatever, because what are they going to talk about?
Well, we got the elections in the fall. Hey, by the way, one of our listeners out there listening this morning, Mary, she's saying, your caller is saying everything I'm thinking. We need police and fire, not secretaries.
Bless her heart. So I'm not crazy.
No, I definitely think what you're saying is valid. I just think it was probably impossible to stop these people from walking away, because as much as you would have reassured them that your job is safe, the perception is that Marianne's got no money.
Well, the whole thing is apparently the firefighters and the policemen are a little sharper than the people making the decisions. And there's none of those they've done away with. And they're all pencil pushers. Has any of the salary people said, I'll give back part of my salary to help us over this hump? Just take it away from the guy that's out there trying to save my life.
The council people did turn down their raise, right?
Yeah, the council people turned down their raise, so there was that.
Oh, bless their hearts. How much was that?
I don't know exactly. A few thousand.
Yeah.
A year.
Each?
Yeah. Yeah, a year.
Well, that's a drop in the bucket with how much money we owe. But
well,
thank you for doing that.
Well, in a month later, 30 days now, we still haven't heard anything from the state after the financial plan was turned in.
That's so, right, Scott, but we did not implement any of those plans either.
Well, that's it. I think there's a lot of confusion going on right now.
I think they're just using it to make it look like they're trying, but they're not trying. How do they know the people is going to be really upset about raising the rates on the bus or whatever? They haven't. I mean, if you were in that kind of shape, you would go to the grocery store and you would see all the ways you could make a cut. You wouldn't just keep spending money. You know, and so then when the state comes in, they'll say, well, you guys have really tried. No, we just get rid of the people that's going to take care of me if I need an emergency.
Well, it's going to be interesting if they get this thing on the ballot for four-year terms, how that is received this fall. And it's also going to be interesting next year when council is up for election and the mayor is up for election to see how that all goes.
But, Scott, remember when the mayor first went into office, we had five new council people. We had a new president, and we had a new mayor, and everybody in there. So they moved a whole bunch of new people in, and we were already in a mess. So I don't think that's their answer. Because I do remember when the mayor came in, bless his heart. Actually, you have to give him a lot of credit. I wouldn't have his job on a Christmas tree. But anyway, that's when, you know, we had all those new people and a new president. So, you know, but like I said, we have not implemented one of those cost-cutting things that we're going to show the state we're really trying, because we're not really trying. We're just dodging them.
Well, if they don't operate within their budget, there's going to be severe consequences that will come.
But the little things that they say that they're going to cut, they think that's going to pacify the state. For pity's sake, get around and start doing it.
Well, I think, I don't know. Sanitation rates, I know, have been increased. Storm sewer has been increased. They've cut the out-of-work tax credit to 50%. Those things have been done. To my knowledge, they haven't done anything with the curbside recycling. They haven't done anything with the bus fare increases. And they've raised the rates at the Aquatic Center. So I don't know exactly how that makes up for the money they need to make up. But,
But if you were going bankrupt yourself, and you really had to try, okay, you wouldn't wait until they come and held your hand and say, no, you've done screwed up, you're out of here. Or would they come and say, you guys are really trying, let's keep on doing whatever you're doing, da-da-da-da-da-da, because we're not. And then when we do, we take the people that serve us every single day and look at the money we spent to train those firefighters and policemen that somebody else is going to utilize that training.
Well, that's true. And I think Chief McDonald said that. We're losing the training. We're losing the experience.
Right. And I sure hope there's one or two left if I fall on the floor and need somebody to pick me up.
Well, we certainly hope so for all of us.
Well, if not, I'll have to call you. Matt would be late. But anyway.
Well, you'd only have to lay there for an extra 10 or 15 minutes. It'd be okay.
Yeah, that's true. He'll be doing his hair.
He'll be doing his hair. Thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 52 minutes past the hour. If you would like to call in, feel free. 740-383-9944. Going to get a haircut?
At some point.
Like a decent one?
I'm going to get maybe 3 inches cut off.
Oh, that's not enough.
I got a lot of dead hair.
You need 6 inches cut off.
No, that's too much.
Yeah, you don't want to be going in that ponytail.
I've had three and a half years now without having my hair cut. I got probably pretty close to 3 inches of dead hair.
Yeah, but I think you want to take care of that.
Yeah.
Operate in a little different, little different area.
Cut off about 3.5-4 inches.
About 6 inches.
No, 3 to 4.
6 inches might help you.
No, 3 to 4.
I think you'd be okay with 6.
I think I'd be all right with 3 to 4.
I think it'd be fine. Again, phone lines are open. We've got about 7 minutes left in the broadcast. If there's anything you'd like to say, 740-383-9944. We thank Allison Russo, current Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, for calling in this morning. I see her as a strong candidate.
Well, she certainly showed Hambly.
She certainly did. What happened to him? He was showing up in people's living rooms and running around the state and got Governor Celeste's endorsement and all that sort of stuff, but didn't mean a thing.
Well, I think Allison Roos was probably not wrong. I mean, she's been in office before, and she's run for office, and she's been around the state. I think that, she just had the name recognition, as opposed to Hambly, who was a doctor.
Well, again, is it a bellwether?
Also, why do doctors want to run for office? I figure you can make more money as a doctor. I was going to say, I understand
it's about power.
Power.
People don't take these jobs.
If I'm a doctor, I literally have the power over your life. I lose my license probably, but I could just,
People want to be in politics because
of power. One bad move, and
look at the money people spend to get into an office as opposed to what you're going to make in the office.
Yeah.
That should tell you right there what public office is all about. There's no money. This is not like, ooh, can I get a raise?
Well, it's not about the money. Just
No, it's about the power.
I just figure, if I went to school to be a doctor, I'd be a doctor. I mean, I think that's simply my point. If I went to school to be a doctor, why am I running for office now? I figure I want to be a doctor.
Well, a lot of teachers run for office.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of teachers and principals and people of that nature on school boards and
teachers,
county commissioners and things of that nature.
Yeah, but teachers and doctors aren't exactly, you know, the same.
Dr. Gilsdorf was on council for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
Dr. Gray was city council president.
Dr. Mark Davis just
exactly.
left the, yeah.
So what are you shocked about?
I don't know. I mean, do they still have, like, a practice?
Dr. Gray did. Yeah, Dr. Gilsdorf did. Yeah.
Dr. Davis didn't?
No, I believe he'd retired by that point.
Oh, well, he retired. He was no longer working.
Yeah, but people want to get involved in their government. There's a big push about that right now.
It's because the country's falling apart.
Well, why are doctors any different than anybody else? If you want to run for office, you want to run for office.
Because I figure, like, you know, the job of doctors, I mean, I don't know. I just figured, you know, I figured if I was a doctor, I'd want to be a doctor. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I don't know. Teachers, I don't know, you know, kind of go with, I don't know, it was like the future of the country kind of thing, maybe. But, I don't know. Teachers aren't exactly the same as doctors, though.
Well, it seems like Amy Acton's pitch, which we heard again from Russo there, is she's been through hard times, and she's not the billionaire. Isn't that what you got from it?
I've been through hard times, and I'm not a billionaire. Maybe I should run for governor.
Well, I mean, isn't that what she said?
Yep, that's what she said.
Okay. So that's the pitch.
Okay. It's a strong pitch right there. Yep.
Well, I don't know.
I think Amy Acton should be out doing something more.
You know?
She's not.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I just...
Did she release a statement about officially becoming the candidate?
Well, that little thing last night that we talked about.
Oh.
Her speech, I think they threw her speech up in a press release. Dr. Amy Acton becomes official Democratic nominee... for governor, heads into general with historic support. That's it.
What's historic about it?
The support, I guess, is historic.
Yeah, but I mean, just like the amount of support, like fundraising.
You'd have to listen to her. I don't know.
Okay. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's exactly the smoothest campaign. I think they could take a key or two from Ben Weber.
Ben Weber knows how to run a campaign.
Yes, he does.
Ben Weber knows how to run a campaign. He certainly knows how to navigate the media.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, I mean, he doesn't totally ignore them.
Well, I don't know why you would.
Well.
You gotta spread the word, you know.
What do you think Ramaswamy's victory party was last night? What do you think that thing was like down on High Street?
I don't know. Probably about the same.
I bet there was a spread.
Well, yeah.
I could have been there last night.
You should have, I guess.
Well, who would have done this?
You could have done it from down there.
Yeah, that would have been easy. It's difficult enough to do from in here.
Just gotta get a whole TV and the whole nine.
Was that not fascinating what Christian was doing last night?
Oh, yeah, there was a whole setup.
I mean, I just kept watching that all night, and he was pulling up districts, and they were color-coded, and he was pulling up the numbers and the percentages, and it was fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I thought it was neat.
Gotta give him a lot of credit for doing all that. Well, if you just tuned in before we run out here, Ken Stuyvesant is the big winner in the county commissioner race here in Marion. He'll take office January of next year. We've got Ben Weber, the big winner in the 86th district. He'll face Ken Halloran in the fall. Adam H., Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities levies both go down in defeat. And that's pretty much where we are at this point. And we'll see what happens as we go into the fall.
Well, it's exciting, isn't it?
For this day after the election, Matt Morgan, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is...